and welcome. Prepare your heart as we dive into the Word of God. Our desire at Beloved Church in Lena, Illinois, is to lead you into a life-changing encounter with grace and truth. Jesus Christ has a divine destiny perfectly orchestrated for those who are willing to be adventurous enough to receive His favor and blessing into their life. Our prayer is that you will allow the presence of the comforting Spirit of God to radically display the Father's love for you. You are a part of God's beloved family, and that means you are greatly loved. Now over to our guest minister for today.
It is truly humbling, and it is a privilege, and it is unexpected. When Pastor Steve asked me about 4 or 5 weeks ago if I would accept this opportunity, I didn't even think, and yes came out of my mouth. And now I've spent 4 or 5 weeks saying, I'm not worthy. We have Pastor Bob, we have Pastor Craig, we have Pastor Steve, we have Ryan. I can't do this. And it is humbling, but greater is He that is in me. I can't do this. I won't do this, but He will. And He has. And I am so grateful for this family. I'm grateful for every single one of you that have spoken into my life, into my wife's life, into our children's lives. 2024 was a good year. Amen. Bring it on, 2025. I'm ready. Chris, would you come and pray for us?
He's given me a word here to share with us all, and it's spoke of my brother Ben and how he's put a light to all of us to be as well. So he gave me Proverbs 3:13. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who acquires understanding. I got to spend some time with him a little bit, and I saw that within there, and I'm seeking the same. And so he's doing the same for all of us. So, Father, we thank you for this opportunity that the man who spoke, that is going to speak today, who sought your wisdom, and he wants to know your understanding, that he gets a chance to share that with us today. And that we take that, and we do the same thing, that we seek his wisdom and his understanding in the Lord. So thank you for this opportunity, for our brother Ben, and thank you, Lord, for the opportunity of this beloved family to receive today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, brother.
You're welcome. All right. So we're going to start in Luke chapter 17. Luke 19. We're going to start in Luke 19. And I want to read the parable of the 10 minas to you. And the Lord he's put this on my heart for several reasons, I believe, and I'd like to just read through this one time. While the people were listening to this, Jesus proceeded to tell them a parable. Because he was near Jerusalem and they thought the kingdom of God would appear imminently, so he said, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to lay claim to his kingship and then return. Beforehand, he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas, one apiece, which was over 100 days' wages. Conduct business with this until I return, he said. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we do not want this man to rule over us. When he returned from procuring his kingship, he summoned the servants to whom he had given the money to find out what each one had earned. The first servant came forward and said, Master, your mina has produced 10 more. His master replied, well done, good servant. Because you have been faithful in a very small matter, you shall have authority over 10 cities. The second servant came and said, Master, your mina has made 5 minas. And to this one he said, you shall have authority over 5 cities. Then another servant came and said, Master, here is your mina, which I have laid away in a piece of cloth, for I was afraid of you, because you are a harsh man. You withdraw what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. His master replied, You wicked servant, I will judge you by your own words. So you knew that I am a harsh man, withdrawing what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not deposit my money in the bank, and upon my return I could have collected it with interest? Then he told those standing by, Take the mina from him and give it to the one with 10. Master, they said, he has already 10. He replied, I tell you that everyone who has will be given more, but the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him, and these enemies of mine who were unwilling for me to rule over them, bring them here and slay them in front of me. So there is some important context in this scripture. Jesus was talking to a group of tax collectors, if you read before that. And a lot of us, we read that and we think, well, he's telling a money story because they're tax collectors and they understand money. But there's deeper levels than that. They're tax collectors, which means they're involved in government. They know what's going on. He gives this picture of a king going to receive his kingdom because it's what they can relate to. About 60 years prior, the Herodian dynasty was started that very way. He went to Caesar and petitioned him to make him king over Judea. He left and he came back the king. And while he was on his way, his opposers sent a delegation to tell Caesar why he shouldn't be made king. So when he got back, he had work to do. And you miss that if you just read the parable. The parable is giving us a picture that Christ is using to show what his kingdom looks like in terms that the people that were hearing it could understand. So they're expecting him to set up his kingdom on earth that very day, even. He was getting close to Jerusalem. They knew it was coming right now. And he says, hold on, let me tell you how this works. Let me tell you how this works. I go away, and I give you each a piece of my kingdom. I go away, I give you each a piece of my kingdom. And I expect a return. And so I want to look at these three servants. Because it says a lot about their character. So the delegation, the people that resisted his kingship, they're not even a part of this conversation. I would say they're not sitting in a purple chair right now. Right? They don't want him as king. They don't want him as Lord. They're not serving him. They don't want to serve him. So these three servants, they say he's Lord. They serve him. He's given them a piece of his kingdom, and he's expecting a return on his return. So he comes to the first servant, and the first servant says, I give you 10 more. He got one. He brings the king back 10 more. He multiplied the king's kingdom 10 times while he was gone. The second servant came to the king and said, I gave you 5 more. You gave me one, I give you 5. He got a 5-time return on his investment in that person. And we get to the last guy. This poor, poor guy. He was given a piece of the kingdom and he tucked it away. He didn't expand at all what he was given. The king expects a return on his investment in his people. So how does that relate to us? How does that relate to the ministry of Jesus Christ? So he went away, and he gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us a piece of his kingdom. He gives us a big piece of his kingdom. He gives us the gospel. He gives us salvation. He gives us the right to be a king and priest in this land. And I love the thread from what you said, Ryan, from what you said, Bob, what you got up and shared about the king, about expanding, the expansion of the kingdom. That's his desire in us, is to see his kingdom expanded. If you want to see the kingdom of God expanded, you're a good servant. If you want to see a multiplication, a return on his investment in your heart, that is kingdom. That's what the king is coming for. That's his expectation. So what do we say about this servant who came back and didn't have anything to show but the one piece that he was given? What did he do for that whole period? None of the king's business. He didn't do any of the king's business while he was gone. He might have made himself a nice little nest egg. He might have gotten a nice little car to ride around in. But he didn't do the king's business in that time frame. He tucked it away. He received it. Now get this. He received it and tucked it away. He didn't allow it even to multiply in his own life. The king said, if you would have just put it in the bank and got a little interest. He tucked it away and it didn't even multiply. It didn't blossom in his own life, let alone the lives of those around him. And we talk about relational prosperity. That is us moving in the Holy Spirit and blossoming into each other's lives, giving each other wisdom and speaking into each other things that we do not see ourselves. And that is a multiplication of the kingdom right here in this room. If we cannot take what God has given us in his Holy Spirit, in salvation, in the gospel, and multiply it in our own hearts, even that little bit, even to spend time with him in intimacy, then we are like the servant who took that mina and tucked it away and just waited. Well, I got my salvation. I'm good to go. No! We serve a king, and he is king. He's called us kings and priests. Are we servants or are we kings and priests? Yes. Yes, we are. Would you pull up Luke 17, verses 5 through 10? So Jesus is teaching his disciples, and they come to him and they said, increase our faith. It's not a bad request. And the Lord answered, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Which of you whose servant comes in from plowing or shepherding in the field will say to him, "Come at once and sit down to eat." Instead, won't he tell him, "Prepare my meal and dress yourself to serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you may eat and drink." Does he thank the servant because he did what he was told? So you also, when you have done everything commanded of you, should say, "We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. And we live in this me-focused society. Why didn't you thank me for my good deed? Why didn't you care about me? I did this thing for you. What about me?" And we follow the example of Jesus Christ. We are followers of Jesus Christ. We are disciples of the living King. And I don't see in Scripture at any point Jesus going to his Father and saying, "That's pretty good, huh? What do you think about that?" Right? "Dad, did you see what I did over there? I want some souls. Man, did you see what I did with Peter? I restored that brother." No, we're servants. A servant doesn't get glory. A servant gives glory to his master. A servant gives glory to his master. So we have a parable, and Christ is saying, the king left. But he didn't just leave without a parting gift. He gives his servants each. He gives them all the same amount. He gives each of us the Holy Spirit. He blesses us with his living Spirit. The living King, our God, blesses us with his Spirit. What do we do with it? What do we do with it? Do we allow it to multiply? And I say allow because it is an allowance. It is an allowance. Our obedience is allowing God to do what he has created us to do. It doesn't just multiply without our partnership. I can bury $100 in my backyard, and when I get back to it 10, 20, 30 years later, it's actually worth less than when I put it there. If we bury the Spirit of God in our lives and do our thing and don't get about the king's business, then we're really not his servants. And that's pretty much how he closes out that parable. He takes it from him and basically says, "You're no servant of mine." But I thought God loved me. But I thought God cared about me. I thought Christ died for me. Right? I thought he cherishes me. Yes. Yes, he does. That's why he wants you to do what you were created to do in Christ. He wants you to live in your true nature. He wants you to be filled with his Spirit to live in the truth. So how do we do that? what Bob talked about, intimacy with him. Intimacy with him. Intimacy with one another. That is how the kingdom is built in our hearts and to the ends of the earth. If we don't have intimacy with him, we cannot receive what he has for us. If any one of those 10 servants stayed home, they wouldn't have got what he had. So why intimacy with each other? I know Bob's been talking about this for as long as I can remember. Intimacy with one another. Intimacy with one another. Because that's how he created it to work. Can it be that simple? Can it be that simple that he created the body to work together? The gospel of Jesus Christ is so simple, it confuses the wise. He created us to work together and work with him. So, I want to challenge all of us as we enter into this new year to reflect on that. Is the kingdom of God being multiplied in my life? If not, why not? And what is my part in that? Because he is expecting us to multiply, to grow his kingdom. To increase, to take territory. That's why he left his servants each a piece of his kingdom. He's like, I want you to take this and multiply it. Go grow my kingdom. Is that not the Great Commission? Go into all the earth. And we get, in our culture, we get so me-focused. And I think that God is specifically calling us into servanthood. Serving him and serving each other. It's a very, very specific call, and it is very, very self-destructive. That is good. In 2013, 2014, God called Paige and I overseas. He gave us very specific things that would happen. We were to go to South Korea and be discipled. And we didn't know anybody in South Korea. But we got to South Korea. We were a part of a very tight-knit body of believers. And we were discipled in hospitality, in ministering the gospel by a couple from India in such an intimate and powerful way. And God revealed to us that we were to take that revelation, to take that into North Africa. And we stepped foot in a tight-knit body of believers in North Africa and were shunned. And we spent 8-10 months there with no fruit. No fruit. Because we didn't have relationship with the body. In our last 2 months, we were able to break through that wall they had built. They told us they built a wall up around us. We were able to break through that wall. And we were able to minister to them and to our local friends in such a powerful way. Not a single person here can tell me that we do not need each other to build his kingdom. I have witnessed it with my own life. The difference between being discipled, being poured into, being encouraged by the body that we are created to be, versus not having that access to the kingdom people. We need each other. We need to serve each other. We need to be blessed by each other. We need to bless each other. And that is one of the main components of building the kingdom of God on this earth. Second Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 say, "Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity." He has granted us grace from all eternity to carry out his good purposes. That's huge if we can receive that. That he has granted us grace from all eternity to carry out his good purposes. We have all been granted grace from all eternity to carry out his good purposes. At the Battle of Gettysburg in the Civil War, the American Civil War, the Confederate Army was about to annihilate the Union Army. They were on the verge of winning the war. And so they went into Pennsylvania with that very purpose. Their purpose in going into Pennsylvania was to annihilate the Union Army, march on Washington, and end the war. There was a cavalry general named John Buford who came across the Union infantry. And he didn't know if he would be reinforced or not. But he knew what he had to do. He took the good ground. He took the good ground. And he defended it for hours with dismounted cavalry against regular infantry soldiers. He was outnumbered, outgunned, and unreinforced. But he knew what he had to do. And it changed the course of this nation. It literally changed the course of this nation. He stood his ground. Outnumbered, outgunned, and unreinforced, and he stood his ground. And then reinforcements came. We do not always have each other around us. We do not always have our brother and sister in Christ right next to us. There are times we face the enemy outnumbered and outgunned, what seems like. But God is with us. And it changes the trajectory of our lives when we stand in Him. It changes the trajectory of His kingdom when we stand in Him. When we take the good ground and we stand on it, knowing He is with us, knowing He will send us reinforcements when we need it. We will be victorious. We are victorious. So are we servants or are we kings? Yes, we are kings and we stand. And we are servants that lay down our lives for one another. Those are not mutually exclusive statements. Jesus Christ, our Savior, lived the perfect life. He was the perfect servant. And He is King. And His Spirit is in us. How much more can we serve? How much more can we stand as kings and priests? Because He keeps giving, He keeps pouring out. It doesn't stop. The flow doesn't stop. He keeps giving, He keeps pouring out. The only thing that stops us is us tucking it away. What is on the other side of yes? What is on the other side of yes with God? April 2024. Paige saw a post that Chris put on Facebook. Hey, I want to go to the men's conference at Karis. Anybody interested? Yes. Yes, I am. That has changed the trajectory of my life. I got closer with my brothers. I sat down and had a two-hour conversation with the man that was the very first director of Karis Bible College. Planted the first above-ground church in the Soviet Union. There's always more on the other side of yes with God. That's why I say we partner with Him. He partners with us. We're not Christian robots. We say yes and no. So what's on the other side of yes in your life? What's He challenging you with right now? What's he equipping you to do? What's He requesting of you? And what's on the other side of saying yes to the living God? Blessing upon blessing upon blessing. Amen. The kingdom will expand. I guarantee it. He is faithful. He is faithful and he is true. He didn't give us his Holy Spirit for us to feel good. Amen. It does feel good. It's awesome. It's amazing. But there's more. His kingdom starts in our hearts, but it doesn't end in our hearts. It begins in us and ends at the ends of the earth. Our king is coming back to expect a great territory gain in Lena, Illinois, in Stevenson County, in Northwest Illinois, and to the ends of the earth. Amen. And he has positioned each of you to be a part of that. He has positioned my family to be a part of that. But do we rest in the truth that he has given us grace upon grace for the works he has called us to? I can't get up here and speak. Doc Ryan has stood right here. He's forgotten more about the Bible than I'll ever know. But I have been granted grace. And I serve the living God. What is on the other side of yes? Are we servants or are we kings? Yes, we are. Christ is calling us into his identity. He is the servant king. He laid it all down. And he received glory upon glory. And we all give an account. ...2024 is over. We're all going to have to give an account of what we earned to our government. Right? It's the law. And I hope most of us, right? Law-abiding citizens. See, we're all aware of the laws of our land, at least to some degree. Are we aware of the laws of our kingdom? Do we understand the laws of the kingdom we live in? that we have to give an account? That we get to give an account. How about that? It's kingdom. We get to do this. It's a joy, a privilege. We get to receive, and we get to give. And we are able to give an account. And it feels good. But it's really not about the feeling. Because we're servants. We don't get the pat on the back. Good job, buddy. You led that guy to Christ, man. No, it's where's my dinner and go get the next one. Right? We are kings and priests in this land. And we are servants of the living God and one to another. There is no one greater or less. There is no one greater or less. There's just bigger returns. Right? There's no one greater or less. There's just bigger returns. He is calling us, beloved, to greater returns. By serving. Amen. By serving one another, he is calling us to greater returns in his kingdom. As a body, strategically located right here, right now, he is calling us to greater returns in his kingdom. Ryan released the word this morning. They're coming back. They're coming back. Are we ready to serve them? Are we ready to bless and be a blessing in 2025? Are we ready to go deeper in the things of God? And maybe put some of the other things on the shelf. Not his kingdom. Let's not put his kingdom on the shelf. Let's put some of the other things. You know, the good things. The good things we do that aren't necessarily the God things he's created us for. Because we do a lot of good things. We're good people. We love God. We love each other. We're good people. We do good things. But is it what he's given you the grace to do? Is it what he created you to do? Is it what he blessed you with the Holy Spirit to carry out? Right? Is it what he's anointed you to do? The king has expectations. And I don't think there's been a time I've stepped in this building and not been blessed by the testimonies of what is taking place in my brothers and sisters. And it's good. And God is moving. But there's more. There's more. It's not to the ends of the earth yet. His kingdom, it's not to the ends of the earth. So I guess if you wanted to squeak by, you could take the kingdom and allow it to gain a little interest in your life. Right? Could do that, maybe. It's a risk. It's not a good risk. There's good risk and bad risk. That's not a God risk. That's a I want to be comfortable risk, right? I want to be comfortable, so I'm going to do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Right? Get a little interest on what God's invested in me, you know? I'll stop cussing. Right? We take that. Some people take that mentality. 2025, I'm going to stop cussing. His kingdom's going to grow in me. I'm going to stop cussing. You heard it, Paige. No. I'm going to grow the kingdom. We are going to grow the kingdom. We're going to serve. And we will like it. Amen. You will serve the King and you will be blessed by it. They don't say that in the sinner's prayer anymore. Do they? Accept Jesus as your Savior. You will die. You will serve others. And you will like it. Right?
Amen.
That's the kingdom we get to walk in. That's the kingdom we get to walk in. That doesn't sound real good to the world. But that tickles my ears. I'm sorry Pastor Steve wasn't here today. I just love him and his kingdom. I want to see it multiplied in my life. I want to see it multiplied in every single person here's life. To truly walk in what you were created to walk in is a blessing beyond blessings. We are all on different paths to the same destination. And I can't model myself after Bob because Bob's doing Bob, right? I model myself after Christ and Bob. But Bob's on a journey with the Lord. I'm not called to do all the things that Bob does. Right. I was given my own grace. See, there's universal laws. Right? We're all on a journey towards the kingdom. But then there's very specific individual things that he created and designed each of us to do, gifts that we have. That's why Paul talks about us being members of one body with different purposes and functions. That's why Bob talks about, if you're not called to be here, don't be here. There's somebody that needs what you have. Do we understand who we are? Servants. I'll just read 2 Timothy chapter 1 again. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. But now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For which I, Paul, was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. Paul was appointed a preacher and a teacher and an apostle. And he finished the race. He served. And he is a king. And God does not ask any more or any less of us. An Egyptian friend, that was all he could say. No more, no less. $10, no more, no less. He wants all of you, no more, no less. He wants all of his kingdom in you, no more, no less. He wants all of his kingdom on this earth, no more, no less. His desires don't change based on what we feel like doing today. His desires for our hearts and our lives and our purposes are the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what is on the other side of yes? And I'm not talking about a salvation yes. For some people, that's where it starts, right? Saying yes to receiving God as king. But what's the next yes? Where is he taking you? How can you be blessed by this body coming around you in that? How can you be a blessing to this body in obeying that? How can you build his kingdom to the ends of the earth walking that out? He's calling us deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. To depths that we know not the end of. And it's one yes at a time. It is one yes at a time. It is one yes to the king, after another yes to the king, after another yes to the king. And I'd like to say it gets easier. So I exhort you, beloved, find out what is on the other side of yes. Serve one another in the humility of our King with the authority of our king. When the king left, he left his authority. He gave his servants the authority to do business. So what the parable says, he said, the king left and gave his servants the authority to do business and the means to do it. Brothers and sisters, it's time to get to business. His kingdom will expand. It is expanding right now. And we get to be a part of it. We are honored and humbled to be a part of it. I am so humbled to be in this position right now to share the things that God has laid on my heart. I can't express to you the gratitude that I have for the leadership of this church. I can't express to you the gratitude I have of my King, who has brought me from glory to glory to see his kingdom come. To see his kingdom come. I bless you. I bless each of you in the giftings and callings and the grace that has been poured upon you from all eternity to do the good purposes that he created you for. In the authority of him. Bob, will you bless us?
Thank you so much for sharing this time with us as we have encountered Jesus Christ through the ministry of his life-changing word. If you would like to learn more about Steve Castle Ministries and Beloved Church, you can go online to stevecastle.com or belovedchurchillinois.com. You can also contact us at 815-990-0367. Always remember that you are a part of the beloved family of God, and Beloved Church is the place where you are greatly loved. Now please open your heart to receive as Pastor Steve proclaims the blessing of the Father over your life.
I pray, I declare that above all things, that you allow the finished work of the cross to bring prosperity into your finances and also divine health, prospering your body. And all of these things are going to affect you in a supernatural way as you allow your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, and your personality to be perfected in prosperity that the Father desires for you to have. We love you, and we cannot wait to see and be with you again soon. Goodbye, beloved.